Mexico and the Caribbean. And this year, migrant workers came from Russia to work in a fish plant. And here's the all kinds of reasons are given why it is absolutely essential to have migrant workers who are given no rights when they arrive, who are given no opportunity to become residents and permanent citizens of this country. But always they're saying, governments and business, there are no local workers to do the jobs. We have an unemployment rate in Prince Edward Island at the end of April, 12%, even though many are leaving as migrant workers for Alberta. There are plenty of workers. But really the issue is to anchor that minimum wage at the lowest possible level. And in communities like Surrey and Tignish that need employment, these migrant workers are coming in. And when I spoke with one of the owners of a business that in West Prince that is really growing strawberry seedlings to sell to Mexico, the Mexican workers are coming here to work in the plant. And she said this, and I quote, which was absolutely shocking, but it's true, as to why they're here. And when they're here, we need to ensure that they're given proper protection. But this particular employer said, well, we like employing migrant workers. They are reliable. They don't complain. They don't mind working 12 hours a day. And when Saturday night comes, they're not like the local people who we employ and complain that they have to work until 8 o'clock at night. Now, this is what's happening on Prince Edward Island. And in the fish plant, Ocean Choice has brought in and will bring in about, I think, 60 workers from Moscow. But really, at the local level, there are workers. They don't have public transportation. There's no child care. And they're not prepared to pay decent wages for their work. In that context, you know, migrant workers are the fastest growing group of workers worldwide. There are over 85 that's moved between borders. Within countries like China and increasingly Canada, migrant workers experience the same difficulties within the boundaries. So our job really is to question what's happening. And this Atlantica is nothing more than simply to minimize the importance of minimum wages, to reduce wages even lower, to ensure that what little unionization there is in the private sector is absolutely destroyed, and that our social programs, because if you listen to the AIMS president, he is absolutely intolerable towards people who are poor and who live in poverty, and he puts the blame squarely on the individual. And those are the kinds of things that we have to challenge. And so this is a town hall meeting, and we are going to open it up for comments and questions. The three panelists will take notes. They will each be given ample opportunity at the end to respond.
My name is Wayne Lucas. I'm the president of CUPE in Newfoundland, Labrador. And I had the opportunity to have a 600-plate dinner tonight, and somebody at the head table attributed the people down at the 600-plate dinner being the elite. But I'm proud to say that I chose to be with the real elite right here tonight. Yeah. I just want to take a moment because, you know, I think I'm somewhat of an expert when it comes to big business. In 1497, John Cabot came to Newfoundland. He landed in Bonavista. And the only reason why he came to Bonavista was because of the abundance of fish. Now, in Newfoundland and Labrador over the past year, we've lost 1,000 workers whose work, I suspect, has gone to China. And when work goes to China, what that means is that it goes to some sweatshop where children are paid at least 10 times less than what workers in Newfoundland and Labrador are paid. And now we have the business elite of Atlantica telling us that they want us to trust them. Well, I tell you, I've got no problem with globalization, because globalization to me means reaching out to people that are a lot less fortunate than what we are. And if we're going to go to countries like Haiti and we're going to say to those people that we want your standard of living to come up to at least what ours is, well, okay, I'm for globalization. But when they tell me that globalization means that we have to do away with our Medicare system, our education system, our unemployment insurance system, or in other words, when we have to stop being a kind, caring, compassionate society where we care for each other, that's not in the books. My brothers and sisters, I want to let you know that I'll be at that conference for the next 2 days, but I plan to be in the march on Saturday, and I plan to make it to every radio station. I plan to write letters to the editor of the paper, and Atlantica will be exposed. Thank you.
My name is Allison Brewer, and I'm leader of the New Brunswick New Democratic Party. Like the Council of Canadians, we don't take donations from large unethical corporations. And I think I'm in a room tonight with a whole lot more friends than I would be if I were at the other event this evening. There's a few things that come to mind. I share the concerns over wages, workers' rights, sovereignty, and the environment. And I can't claim I know a lot about what Atlantica is, but I do know a little bit about communication and how you try to convince people that something that's wrong is right. And I don't know if anybody saw the front page of the Telegraph Journal this morning, but it was pretty much an ad for Atlantica. Well, the picture was very interesting, and the like what we've heard tonight, the race to the bottom. What the Telegraph Journal calls that is Back to the Future. And there's a picture that is presumably to pull on our heartstrings, our sense of nostalgia, and take us back to a time of tall ships and brigantines. But you know what it's going to take us to? It's going to take us to LNG tankers and a whole lot of other dangerous cargo in Passamaquoddy Bay, and that's where we're going with this. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone two.
Mary Boyd, MacKillop Center for Social Justice, Prince Edward Island. I'm here to remind us that in the fight against the free trade agreement and the election, because we succeeded in making it an election issue, that this region turned down that free trade agreement flat. Some of you will recall that cabinet ministers fell and all the proponents of free trade fell in this region. We said no. And the reason we said no are many. Our concern about social programs, which comes up again, our unique culture. Do we want Newfoundland, Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, and New Brunswick to melt into some kind of a global culture when we have one of the most unique and distinctive cultures, not only in this country, but anywhere in the world? And the reason we won was that we got it out into the light. You know, somebody said if you put Dracula out into the light, it fizzles. So let's get it out there, every one of us together. Show the truth, because Ames can't stand the truth, Atlantica can't stand up to the truth. And the other thing I want to say tonight is to the media, please be on our side. To all our friends in the media, you're under attack too.
Yes.
In true Atlantic region form, let's get rid of Atlantica.
Thank you. Microphone one.
All right, hello, everybody. My name is Andrew Graham, and I ran for the NDP this last winter for the riding of New Brunswick Southwest. And I want to echo, as our previous speaker did, about exposing the truth and getting the media on our side. But also we need the people on our side in a number of ways. And to back up a few decades, we had in the 60s the Gordon Report, which outlined hundreds of recommendations for in all sectors of government for changes to make bring more autonomy to our country. Now, only a handful of suggestions came through, but with the NDP nipping at the Liberal flank, we managed to bring in for the Foreign Investment Review Agency, which was subsequently dismantled by the Mulroney government. Now we have a rubber stamping agency which lets through any kind of takeover of America of a Canadian company, which of course will hand over most of its profits to its American mother company, in whatever ways they manage to cook the books. You know, it's a complex issue. My comments also include last election, where and thanks to Janice Harvey, who does some excellent columns for her, we're really lucky to have her. I was inspired by her comments during the election to make, as one of my central planks, the whole issue of deep integration. Now, the difficult thing is, it's like, what if you threw a party and nobody came? Well, on a number of issues, like meetings like this, at all candidates' debates, and in newspaper interviews, I raised again and again the specter of deep integration. And I recall, as I talked to a few youths tonight in the car, the danger of not recognizing the danger. And I tried vociferously to get that point across to people, saying, time is running out. We have to act now. We cannot dither. Our children are down the road, and they will look back at us and say, why didn't you do something? And I said to people, during the election, this is the reason I'm doing this. So please, bear in mind that your children will also ask you. Now, as far as a vacuum is concerned, not one person asked me afterward during questions about any of those policies. Now, no one in the press also followed that up. To a further vacuum, this wasn't echoed in the federal party either, as Janice Harvey pointed out in the article that inspired me. My solution to this was to go right to the core, and I want to share this with you, I want to ask your indulgence a little bit further. We're having a general meeting later this month to decide on some resolutions to send to the federal NDP policy convention. And this is just a rough draft, but I just want to get your feedback on this, okay? Is this rough? It's not finished. Whereas the trend of corporate deep integration is an increasing threat to our sovereignty and autonomy as a country, and to many aspects of the way of life, including environmental legislation, healthcare, and other social programs, national defense and security. And whereas it is desired by most Canadians that we be a country which places human and ecological values above corporate profits and capitalism as an end in itself. Therefore, be resolved that the NDP create policy initiatives as part of its main agenda which reverse and restrict corporate deep integration of our society and foreign ownership of our companies. Be it further resolved that we unilaterally abrogate NAFTA, renegotiate an equitable trade agreement which preserves our resources, our institutions, and our autonomy.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's what I have in mind, and you can't do it alone. You can't push for progress in a vacuum. You have to have backup.
Good. Thanks so much. Microphone two.
Yes. My name is Jerry Ackerman. I come from the other side of the Bay of Fundy. I ran in the last election. I ran on the campaign that was just mentioned to you. From one of the parties that Peter Mansbridge couldn't remember the name of on election night, which says a lot about the CBC. And I made this T-shirt quite a few years ago. I gave one to Maude Barlow when she came to my part of Nova Scotia, where the Americans planned to remove a mountain. And she spoke about that very early and pointed out how important NAFTA is in all of this plunder of our resources and how Canadians get nothing in return. Zero. Zip. Nova Scotians don't get a penny for this. And it's still likely to happen. My T-shirts ask two questions. The first question is the USA a buddy? Or a bully?
Bully.
Well, then you agree with the check mark on my shirt.
Except for the name.
The other.
Except for Matt.
pro-Canada, and most Canadians have trouble doing that. I found, when I ran in the election, I found that 29,000 of the people in the riding I ran in had given up on government. Given up on government. Now that is a serious situation, but that, I think, describes other ridings than the one I work in. The second question on my T-shirt is globalization. Now, I'm a financial analyst, so I'm supposed to know about those things, right? Yes, I do. And I ask you if globalization really means gobble my nation. That's what Atlantica is all about.
Good. Thank you.
Howard Jefferson, and I'm a proud union member. I've been a member for 30 years. I do think it's important that I wish you could answer it, because it's been a while since I've been to university.
We just, go closer, and if people could just hush up over here just for a second. Go ahead.
I'll start over.
Yeah.
My name is Howard Jefferson. I'm a proud union member. I've been a member for 30 years, and I certainly believe in the labor movement. I certainly believe that we have to stop this right-wing agenda that has started in the United States and Great Britain. But I think that it's important that you answer my question. It's been a while since I took political science courses. Your definition of neoliberalism is my definition of neoconservatism. Liberalism, as far as a political, social, and economic philosophy, is far from how you describe it. And I am not ashamed to say that I am a liberal. I certainly am not ashamed of the greatest party in Canada that gave us every great piece of social legislation that we have. And the enemy is not the Liberal Party of New Brunswick, it's not the Liberal Party of Canada, it's people that believe in this fundamentalist conservative agenda that has originated in the United States of America. So what is your definition of neoliberalism compared to neoconservatism?
They'll give that at the very end. Okay, thank you very much. Microphone two.
My name is Sean Donahue. I work for a human rights group in Bangor, Maine. We keep being told that we need to take advantage of the boom in trade from China, that we need to build a transportation corridor that will make it possible for us to allow that trade to come through our region. But what does that mean for our communities? In my community, it means making it cheaper for a company like Walmart to bring in a pair of sneakers made by somebody paid less than $1 a day in China to be sold by somebody making less than $7 an hour because they lost their decent factory job when the last two factories in Maine closed for $65. When maybe $1 will bring in our community, and when $64 will go to Bentonville, Arkansas, to the Walton family. How is that trade when the people in China and the people in Maine aren't benefiting? That's not trade, that's exploitation. We're being told this is inevitable. We're being told we have no other options. But as a region, we have the wind and the sun we need to generate our own electricity. We still have enough farmable land to grow our own food. And we need to look to our sisters and brothers in Bolivia, who've shown the possibility that when people come together, they can kick out the corporations, they can take back their land and their resources.
Next, microphone one.
My name's Ron Oldfield. I'm president of the St. John District Labor Council. I'd like to extend. I'd like to extend a warm St. John welcome to the panel, and we'd really like to welcome our U.S. friend here tonight. We know we're like my friend. Saying that, I don't want to start a political war, but I believe most of our social programs came from our greatest Canadian, which we all know was Tommy Douglas. Yeah. should figure out his political ties on your own. Saying that, it is with great honor that I stand here and that the St. John District Labor Council is part of the names on that board. It was a no-brainer for us. This is an opportunity for us. This is not about unionism in my mind. This is an opportunity for us to take a chance and help educate the public on a very dangerous issue. I am a victim of free trade. I went through a plant closure that, in my mind, was nothing more than free trade, a victim on the chopping block. The plant was a vast plant over on the west side. When it closed its doors, it was profitable to the tune of $4 million. It wasn't enough for the shareholders. So I know a little bit about free trade. We also saw a sugar refinery disappear in this region. We also saw a great industry that was here for hundreds of years, a shipbuilding industry, disappear because they weren't allowed to subsidize this industry underneath the free trade agreements. Total up, that's about 5,000 good paying jobs. This area is now in a mentality of box store development. Nothing wrong with box stores, but they do not pay sustainable wages. It's not that they can, they won't. Let's get that straight. They can, but they won't. If they think box store mentality development, which I call nothing more than third world sweatshops, and that's what they are, that's what's going to happen in this region. I got another thing for the corporate elite. They're talking about an economic free trade zone. Well, you know where this zone is going to stop somewhere. There's going to be a boundary there. If they're holding up their goods here, they'll hold up their goods just down the road a little further. So really, what is it achieving? It's achieving a lower standard of living for the people in this area. Because they're still going to have to, their products are going to be stuck at a border somewhere else. What we're asking for in all of this, and I've never had anybody explain it to me yet, really what Atlantica is. What we from the labor movement want to see is we want to see a table that all parties are represented. Labor, environmentalists, culture, women's organizations, religious organizations, and all social community groups that have a stake at this table, which represents the citizens in the areas. And all our parties. On this side of the border, we know there's a lot of activity on the other side of the border with a lot of like-minded people the same. And the gentleman, I'm going to call him a brother from that's the phrase we use, and actually we thought it was a union phrase. I learned a few years ago that it actually came from the sisters of the Catholic Church. They call each other brother and sister. It's a term of friend. So brother from the States, we know we have to work more closely with you, vice versa. We have a lot of like-minded organizations. And the only way this thing is going to be able to, people can move their agenda forward here is by working together. We have to educate ourselves. We're having a major rally on Saturday. We invite everybody to that rally. It's just not for union people. Bring your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren. And if you have to take your dog for a walk, just make sure you bring a bag with
you. Bring your cat.
Thank you.
I know the numbers are lining up behind the microphone, so we're here till 9:30 at least, but each of the speakers is going to be given 5 minutes to have their concluding remarks. So maybe if the people are at the microphone now, if we keep it there and see how it goes, because it's going to take at least 20 to 25 minutes to get through this. Okay, microphone two.
Hi, my name is Allison Sherbell. I'm an employee at the Falls Group Center right now with the big blue bus that you shall go see later on. But I'm originally from Calgary, Alberta, and I can definitely confirm the existence of migrant workers from the east. It really does break my heart seeing these fish out of water literally living in Alberta, because they just want to go home, most of them, and one day I hope they can. Anyways, what I really would like to know is, maybe you can talk about it a little bit more, because really what I've seen here is a lot of discussion of the social implications of Atlantica, which is immensely important, but the way I see it is that society is founded on the environment, and the bottom line is a healthy environment in a society like Canada, especially Canada, where we have so many resources. What I would like to know, I guess, is maybe a deeper explanation of the possible implications of Atlantica on our environment, and how things will maybe be mitigated, problems like clear-cutting, which go on without NAFTA, maybe, and other environmental issues like that. I'd really like to see what kind of problems or solutions are going to come out of all this discussion that we're having today. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Bruce Court. I'm the chairman of the Coalition of Concerned Citizens, Unions, and Small Business. For the last year and a half, we've been fighting one of the biggest blood-sucking corporations that ever was in Canada. It's the Urban Empire. You can go and walk from here 5 minutes down the street. You have over 25% poverty. Go to West St. John, you have over 25% poverty. Go down just down the street from where these bloodsuckers are having their $600 meal, and you got over 25% poverty in this city. You've got a harbor that's polluted because these corporations do not want to pay their property tax. We've got an LNG terminal going to be built out here in the Bay of Fundy, when it's too dangerous to have it down in St. Andrews, but they can build it here and want to tear up our whole city to put a gas pipeline through the city down to the United States. And you know where the gas goes? That's where the jobs will go. There'll be no jobs for Canadians, only the temporary jobs when they build it.
Shame.
All I can see is this Atlantica is nothing more than it's going to be organized slavery for big corporations to make increased profits. We got to stick together with our union brothers and help them fight the politicians that are supporting these corporations, supporting them when giving these tax concessions, and we got to stick together so we can maintain it. And this is nothing against our American friend. I don't want to be a Canadian-American. I don't want to be a Canadian-American-Mexican person. I want to be a Canadian, and I want to support our Canadian unions and maintain what we have right now. Thank you.
Yay! Okay, microphone two.
Hello, my name is Michael Brown, and I've recently returned from Vancouver after a few years, and I've been working as a social worker in this community, and I just, and particularly with youth and addictions, and I just wanted to throw, like, our brother, as I say, from the U.S. brought up a really good point about the people there, and they're not living with hope, and the fact that I think that if there's anything more that people aren't living with hope, it's our children aren't living with hope anymore in this world. And just as a key example, I just wanted to bring up, I worked at one time with Aid St. John, and at one time in 1999, we exchanged about 700 needles. Yeah, just last year, it was up to about 85,000 needles that we exchanged. And the majority of these needles are going to youth in the age of 20 to 29. Our youth are killing themselves for a reason. You know, they're self-medicating pain. You know, there's a real discord between our youth and the rest of our culture. And I think that all of these issues can be looked at with our children. You know, we're not putting money into schools. We're not putting money into, like, our children at all. And I just wanted to bring up, like, that as a really, I think, is a shining, unfortunate local example of just how much our children are self-medicating themselves from this pain. And the fact that now, anywhere that you go, any school, you can pretty much buy cocaine. Like, the kids I had, like, that I work with are 14, and they're doing cocaine. They're doing ecstasy. Like, the amount of drugs that youth are accessible to now, and the amount of pharmaceuticals, like, and I know that the pharmaceutical companies are really big with the WTO, and they're not controlling their drugs. Drugs like Dilaudid are on the streets constantly, like, and that's a synthetic version of heroin, and your children are using it on a daily basis. And we need to really look at that. We don't see our children really here because, quite frankly, they're out of it. They're gone. They're killing themselves in walking zombies. And I just really think that is something that needs to be brought up too. Like, because I know we're talking a lot about the hope and stuff like that, but what if our children are dead before there's any hope? You know, we really need to look at that. So,
thank you. Thank you so much. Number one.
Hi, I'm Rob Moyer. I ran for the NDP in the last federal election in Fundy Royal. We placed a very strong third with a lot of growth, which meant we changed a lot of votes. Also an economist at the university. Saturday, I'm going to be marching, and I'm going to say no to Atlantica, but more importantly, in my heart, I'm going to be saying no to the Irvings.
Yay!
Woo! One of the things that I brought up during my campaign, and I think I've used every audience I can get to talk about it, we talk about the resource bases that we've got in our province. We talk about what we might lose in Atlantica. We talk about how we're losing our people, our kids, to Alberta. We've got natural gas here in the province, just outside of Sussex. It's the size of Sable Island. Bernard Lord, remember the guy that gets the top-up salary, who's going to help negotiate this Atlantica deal, has not mentioned it in legislature. Has not mentioned it in legislature. Rob Moore, whose federal riding sits there with this gas there, has not mentioned it. We've got the resources here. We're going to enter into Atlantica and watch them disappear faster than ever without even getting a chance to say, just a sec, my kid, my grandkid, me, I want a job. Don't let it happen. And I also want to bring up one thing to my brother in the States, and I think as an NDPer, this is something we've got to focus on. We can't walk in there and just say no. Because then we join in that insanity from Ben Franklin. We'll come back in 10 years and be saying no. And then we'll come back another 5 years and we'll say no. And eventually they'll win because we just keep saying no. So while we've got the chance, while we've got the energy, let's work on fair trade yes. proposal. Let's work with our brothers like Matt in the States and say, hey, we want to trade with you, and you know what? The rest of them are idiots. So let's do it together.
Yay! Thanks. Microphone two. Yep.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Asif Rashid. I'm a longtime resident of Fredericton. I don't really have any intention at all of leaving this region either. I've been living in Fredericton for about 20 years, and I plan to stick around. I plan to work with all you people here, because we're not going to let ourselves simply be pushed around. I think everyone here is under that impression. I'm under that impression. That's what I'm guessing. Anyway, I just want to congratulate everyone, first of all, for showing up here. I think it's really important that we get a sense of the spirit, that it's really important that we all came out, and that's an accomplishment. So I just want everyone, if everyone wants to congratulate each other for showing up, then that's really important. I want to make is I think it's really important. I want to look all around the room because I see a lot of different people here, and I think it's really important that it's a diverse crowd. There are some people who aren't here, as mentioned. There are people out in the streets who are fighting a daily battle, and they're not here for a reason because they're struggling right now. My point, really, the biggest point I'm making is it's not a 3-day movement. Yeah, we're here for 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, up until the Labor March, but it must go on. The resistance to Atlantica is coalescing right now, and that resistance really must continue in order for this to really be effective as people from all around the region who want to see a different future for our children, for ourselves, a dignified future, one where we're all sharing and constructing that future. It really does matter that we are all sticking it out for the long run. So let's consider this a moment that we all gather together, a really considerable moment, where it's not the start and the end, but the beginning of something that's going to continue on. I just wanted that to be recognized. Fellow earlier on mentioned Bolivia. I think it was really important that brother before mentioned Bolivia. In Bolivia, what happened? What he was referring to is that there was an attempt by a foreign company to privatize the water system in Bolivia. And the people in Bolivia simply didn't stand for it. They gathered out in the streets in massive numbers. And they said, no way. And they kicked that company out by gathering together in the public sphere, in the streets. And it's really important that that happens. Yeah. On that point, I just want to mention, there's a lot of great events happening at the St. John Public Library tomorrow, and the next day as well, a lot of educational events, and yes, those are important. As well, there are also events out in the streets, and it's a real chance for people to gather together and make those strong connections that will turn this into a movement. And I want to mention just a couple of those. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., people will be meeting in King Square for a gathering to build momentum. And then at noon, they'll be gathering around the Trade and Convention Center. I'm not sure how many. I hope it's a lot. And the reason for that is Kenneth Irving is speaking at either the Trade and Convention Center or at Harbor Station. He's made it to be announced. Again, not disclosing all the information because he doesn't want to meet with the public. That's a dangerous thing for him to do because he's afraid to confront the public because he's not working within the public sphere. He's working within the private sphere. Anyway, it's a chance for people to gather around and let Irving know what they think. you know, or let Irving know what the people think. You know, what do the people sound like when they're getting together and forming their own agenda, people's agenda? It's a real opportunity. As well, the big concert that's going on tomorrow evening at 6 p.m., I don't know if people know about that, they're calling it the Big Splash, $120 a ticket concert going on. It's, I know I can't afford that. So I'll be at the free concert taking place either across the street or as close as we can get, with pots and pans and drums and all kinds of instruments and lots of singing and lots of spirit. So I just want to make a call.